I mean, I think it's a very stark reminder of what we have to come to terms with in terms of looking at the treatment of Indigenous people, both by Canada and the United States and around the world, the attempts to eradicate us and the continued efforts to do so through out-of-home placement of children and, you know, destruction of our land, our territories, theft of so many different aspects of our people.
Tarahowska, I want to
And
thank you for being with us. That does it for our show. Indigenous lawyer and activist, founder of the Ginu Collective, and also Bruce Ellison, water protector and land back attorney. I'm Amy Goodman. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival Upriver 2021 from Thursday, July 1st through Monday, July 5th at the lot at Sedale Yards in Portland. The 34th annual Waterfront Blues Festival is back on the waterfront this year with performances from Samantha Fish, Mark Burchard, March 4th, Ghost Note, and many, many more. Those tuning in from home can catch the show here on KBOO from noon to 4 p.m., July 2nd through the 5th, as well as a benefit pre-show featuring Curtis Salgado on Thursday, July 1st at 7 p.m. The Waterfront Blues Festival will also be live streaming the evening performances from 6 to 10 p.m., July 2nd through the 5th. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival Upriver 2021 from Thursday, July 1st through Monday, July 5th at the Lot at Zedell Yards, 3030 South Moody Avenue in Portland. More information about the festival, including ticket information, artist lineups, and ways to tune in, can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2021.
Want an impactful way to volunteer for KBOO? Believe in KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change? Then apply to be a member of the KBOO Board of Directors. Our KBOO board guides our strategic work and represents the interests and visions of all our members. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm and fill out an application. If you need a paper copy mailed to you, call the station or email applicationboard@kboo.org. That's one word, applicationboard@kboo.org. The deadline to apply is July 25th, 2021.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is The Gap. Good morning to all. This is The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are bridging. We are bridging. We are. I always forget the other ones, but what they are, we are doing them. How are you doing over there, Althea? Can I hear you? Let's see.
Can you hear me?
I think that I can. Hold on a moment.
Okay, you're all good.
How about now?
Is that better?
That is not better. Just one second. Let's see. How about now?
Happy to offer my dulcet tones wherever they are available. I don't know if maybe there's something I can do to help out here.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and just play that theme song one more time.
All right.
Althea, let's see if we have you there.
Can you hear me now?
There we are. Beautiful voices on the airwaves, getting it all together, getting it D-O-N-E done here on The Gap 90.7 FM. How are you doing, Althea? Thank you for that and bearing with me and my skills that are just getting the oils. You know, it's all about oil, muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
As you can probably hear, the listeners, we are back in the station, mm-hmm. doing the thing.
Yeah.
Struggle a little bit, but it's good.
Yeah, we're here now. We made it. It's good to be in station. Excited to be here. Excited to be here with you this morning. This is The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here. And we got a good show for you today.
We do. I think so also, because the world is doing a bunch of things, and we're here to comment about it, give a little bit of our opinions, some facts, and make sure to let you know when what we're doing.
Yeah.
But today, for the first part, you know, per usual, it's a two-part show. And for the first part, we are going to be speaking about Facebook. And it's being a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. After, I guess, a couple of years of getting us to go down rabbit holes and liking things and sharing and getting into groups and suggesting friends, all of a sudden Facebook wants to have a snitch on one another and say, hey, does your friend look like they're becoming an extremist? I don't know, Facebook, you tell me.
Yeah, yeah, they're doing a new test program, I believe, basically asking users, like, are you concerned that one of your friends is becoming an extremist? Which, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about it. I don't know if you want me to go into those, Tammy, or you want to hit the actuality here. But it's a little ironic, suffice it to say.
I think, yeah, go on ahead while I set this up.
Okay. Yeah, well, just, right, because, you know, we haven't talked too much about Facebook recently, and they've been a little bit out of the news since the election ended. But they are to blame directly for a lot of misinformation spread. And one of the things they're looking at right now is COVID misinformation spread. But that just the idea that Facebook kind of, as you mentioned, Tammy, like enabled a whole bunch of rabbit holes, enabled people to end up in kind of conspiracy territory because of their algorithm and because that wasn't something that they disallowed. And now they're like, oh, but wait, is someone becoming an extremist? We should do something about this. It's a little ironic because, you know, the key is prevention. The key is having good information to start with and not having a billion-dollar company just run that profit margin into the soul and psyche of not just the American public. They're also, like, partially responsible for Brexit, so.
The soul and psyche. Getting esoteric with it. I love it.
Yeah, should I write that down? Do you feel like that was a good phrase? I'm going to maybe write it down.
If we ever have a band, that's going to be the name of it.
Soul and psyche.
And so I did, so I grabbed an actuality, and it kind of speaks more on what you just mentioned with the prevention. So this is actually from 2018, and it's, the relevancy of it is just like, it was kind of shocking to me. So this is a CBS report from 2018, basically about, this was during the time when Facebook did have ISIS recruiting videos on it. And
wow.
Yeah, you know, and then they want to know, is your friend an extremist? I don't know. Again, Facebook, the irony. But basically just talking about what that looked like then in 2018, not that long ago. And towards the end of the audio, you'll actually hear the speaker kind of allude to what we are dealing with now and also in January. So I thought that was kind of, I mean, it was right on the nose, and definitely you could say he foreshadowed this kind of happening. So here it is. This is from CBS. It's about 4 minutes long. We'll be back in just a moment.
Facebook is now facing claims of unwittingly spreading extremism around the world. Researchers found radical Islamic sympathizers were routinely introduced to one another through the popular suggested friends feature on Facebook. That's according to a new study out later this month by the Counter-Extremism Project. We should note CBS News senior national security analyst Fran Townsend is the president of that group. Gregory Waters, one of the authors of the report, told The Telegraph, quote, "The failure to effectively police its platform has allowed Facebook to become a place where extensive IS-supporting networks exist. Propaganda is disseminated, people are radicalized, and new supporters are recruited." J.M. Berger joins me from Cambridge, Massachusetts. He is a fellow with the Counterterrorism Strategic Communications Project and the author of Extremism, which comes out in September. Right, so J.M., how can this suggested friend feature be exploited by extremists?
So this is a problem we've known about for a long time. I first wrote about it in 2013. All of the social media platforms use algorithms that allow them to suggest content you might be interested in. It's a key integral part of their functioning. And what we've seen is that these algorithms will recommend whatever kind of content you're interested in, whether it's extremist content or normal content. And managing that is a slightly different problem than managing extremist content where you go in and look for keywords. So, for instance, you know, we haven't seen the results of this study yet. I don't know exactly what kinds of accounts they're talking about. But you can be on Facebook and be an ISIS supporter and not post content that will get you suspended. You know, if you don't put anything publicly, then you're not going to get caught. But if you're part of a social network that supports ISIS, then once a person becomes friends with you, Facebook's going to suggest that they all become friends.
Well, how concerning is this?
It's cause for concern. Without seeing the paper, you know, it's kind of hard to judge. The numbers that they're talking about seem high to me. It depends on how they're defining what an ISIS supporter is and how open that is. I know that Facebook takes this seriously. They are putting a lot of effort into this problem. Whether that effort is enough and effective is a debate that we have, you know, continually. What I can tell you is that the online environment for ISIS and other jihadist extremists is much more difficult than it was just a couple of years ago. You know, it used to be that it was extraordinarily easy to find this content, to find other people who are doing active recruiting and who are being open supporters. And, you know, that is no longer the case. Now, we can't realistically hope for 100% elimination of this content on these platforms. But, you know, so the question is how much is left. And maybe the study will have some insight in this. You know, until we see it, we won't really know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, how difficult is it to prevent people from using social media platforms for violent purposes?
These are all good questions that we can definitely ask ourselves. And how can we use Facebook in ways that are not harmful to ourselves or to others? But yes, that actuality again comes from CBS, just from 2018, speaking about violence online, or excuse me, just ISIS recruiting videos, and how that kind of escalates this extremity or extremist cultivation on the internet and on Facebook, and again from 2018, so not that long ago, and still very relevant. A little later on, they also continue on speaking on how it's easier to kind of see very violent, you know, graphic videos and being able to take that offline versus things that are more related to speech that can be harmful, or things that are more around like homegrown terrorism, as they like to call it back in the day, and especially alt-right activities. So I think that, you know, another good example of that is January 6th, where sure, Parler was a part of it, but Facebook was also. So, you know, y'all created a monster, and now you want us to like snitch on one another. And it's very much, you know, it's very nuanced, especially when it does come to domesticated issues and domestic issues, excuse me, because especially, you know, we saw here in town when last summer, are people reporting about things? Are people giving their opinions about things? What is exactly an extreme post, you know? And that's just kind of up for every person to decide, you know, individually.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that Facebook isn't credible in this space, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to stop extremism? Awesome. I think you should. I think that maybe that's a good idea. But for Facebook to sort of like put their hand on your shoulder, it's like, oh, is your friend becoming an extremist? Let me help you out. It's like, Facebook, you took them to that meeting. Like, I don't know why you think that you're both the poison and the antidote here. It is deeply ironic. And the messages, they'll have messages that are for like, oh, is your friend, are you worried about your friend becoming an extremist? And this is a pilot project, we should maybe reiterate here, but there's also ones that say you may have been exposed to harmful extremist content recently, and you can get support. It's like, oh, thanks, Facebook.
Oh, wow, you're getting support from the people who create it's giving Soylent Green vibes to me. I gotta be honest, it's,
well,
not
right, because they fostered this entire situation of fake news and generating and like allowing those kinds of things to proliferate on their platform and not reining it in. And then they try to rein it in with these fact checkers, but by then it's too late, because anyone who's been consuming this kind of content now reflects on that. It's like, oh, that's that, like, you know, credit where credit is due. That does seem a little bit suspect if all of a sudden it's like, wait, all that stuff you just watched, no, that's not it, let me consult some academic who can tell you that it's wrong. And we definitely saw that in the past year with COVID misinformation and all kinds of stuff, that, you know, anytime certain keywords come up, there's like a little graphic at the bottom of your post or whatever. I mean, I guess I'm thinking about Instagram specifically, that says like get COVID vaccine information here or something.
Yeah, and I noticed that it's also for things that aren't really related to COVID either sometimes. So I don't know if it's like a AI mishap or if it's something that's like, oh, this person is posting something quasi-political. Let's just make sure people know about COVID-19. It just feels, it feels very weird. Again, like, you know, like you're saying, how can you both be the poison and the antidote?
Yeah,
well, I can't think of a...
And one of the most, like, the more recent things that Facebook has been criticized for in relation to extremists is that it didn't shut down the Facebook page of that of a militia group in Wisconsin that like encouraged people to take to the streets in Kenosha back in the fall, which, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we are folks who talk a lot about, you know, like the internet and things on the internet and what's the future going to hold of tech. But I think we're also skeptical. Would you agree?
I don't know about skeptical. I mean, for me personally, it sounds very cliche, but it's a tool, you know? Mm-hmm. And is it going to be used for good? Is it going to be used for evil? Does it need to get regulated? I mean, I do think that the internet has changed like massively since I was younger. And what it used to feel like, you could just, it like the, like just... anything goes, you mm-hmm. know, you type in onboard.com and you don't know what you're going to find, you know, just really like chair.com, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like it's just so different than what I remember it to be. And there's so many opportunities on the internet, especially, you know, to monetize, which a lot of young people are taking advantage of, you know, which is, you know, it's great because it's people that maybe otherwise wouldn't, you know, be able to have the exposure, whether it's musicians or creatives or just people doing funny things on the internet, you know. But for every, you know, good, there has to be something to kind of balance it out, in my opinion. And I think what I don't know, it's because, again, we're only talking about such a small percentage of the internet, too. Like, there is this massive, you know, it's like the tip of the iceberg, and there's this mm-hmm. massive hole world that I don't, you know, that I don't spend time on the internet that seems to also just be a little darker than you know what we're talking about. And I don't know, because what we're talking about is pretty dark stuff, you
yeah
know?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's, you know, there, I mean, there's antitrust laws that, you know, the UK is trying to really, you know, bring to the forefront. But then I, you know, on the other hand, it's, I can see it being kind of an, you know, it's a freedom issue. Freedom of information. And it kind of goes back to, if you are a person who wants to report on something that's happening, let's say, you know, like internationally, right? Mm-hmm. Where, and you're an American reporter, not even, just a person who wants to spread information or wants to bring awareness to a situation. And you can... It's difficult because if you don't know exactly what you're sharing, then you're going to be labeled an extremist. But you know what? What about the person who's reading something? It could be 100% factual, but they're the ones who are undereducated. And so they think that you're an extremist. Meanwhile, you aren't. They're just, you know what I mean? Like underinformed to the nuances of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just scary to me that now when it went to the place where I could type in chair.com and I don't know what would come up, to now, you know, I might post something that's, you know, like supporting a cause that I believe in, and then someone might think, oh, there she goes being an extremist and reporting me to Facebook. And who's there judging it, you know? who's
Mark Zuckerberg is going to come bang on your door.
Well, I will invite, come. Let's see. We'll have some conversations.
Yeah.
We'll ask him all these questions.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, this is kind of just like the latest turn in the road for Facebook, if you will, of the irony and the, I don't know, I mean, they've done bad stuff. They've had a pretty negative impact on the world in some cases. But it's just interesting to think of, like, you know, one, I don't like trust Facebook to like take, like, if I do think my relative or my friend on Facebook is posting stuff that is extremist, like, why do I trust Facebook to go in there and pull them out, you know? I don't. Facebook put them in there. And just to think about it in the sense of, like, what Facebook was, like, designed to be and then kind of what it is now. And granted, I'm not saying that Mark Zuckerberg designing, I mean, I've seen The Social Network. He designed a software to, like, rate girls at Harvard that then turned into Facebook. And they, like, their commercials used to be about, like, oh, we're going to connect everyone around the world. And it's like, well, we're going to connect everyone around the world and take, harvest their data and sell it to political firms to try to manipulate them. And then they get in the news business, and now they're in the, you know, not dealing with extremists, trying to, like, de-indoctrinate people when they facilitated the indoctrination in the first place.
Right.
It's just so divorced from what its original thing was. And so it's very, very weird. I think that's another layer that makes it very odd to be like, Facebook, can you take care of this for us? Let's get Facebook in here. Facebook, do you want to run the government? It seems like you do.
Well, I mean, does it? Are they not already? I mean, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, Zuckerberg does kind of get roasted in, like, Senate hearings. He's not good in front of that crowd.
Well, the senators also get roasted by the question they ask.
Yeah,
so there's the self-roasting on that bad boy.
How do I make the font size larger on my iPhone, Mr. Zuckerberg? Answer the question.
Which I know, right? It's like, guys, take this to a different... This isn't the time to ask
Mark. My niece sent me a JPEG. Is that the same as an MP3?
Which are all... They're real... I can't answer the question. I don't know. Is it? Well, one is a picture and one is an audio file. But besides the point,
yeah,
it makes me think of, and so what would be the option? Would it be like an outside, I guess, force or organization or some sort of group or team?
Yeah, it looks like the support page is directing, like, you to resources, essentially. Mm-hmm. Life After Hate is one of them, which I think that they're, you know, credible, and I appreciate, I guess, that Facebook is, like, not trying to do it on their own. But still, just even the road that you took there seems...
And it's not to say that people don't get... Like, I have seen people get radicalized on the internet, friends. But again, it's all in the... what is radicalized or what is a bit extremist? You know, I've seen people become more left. I've seen people become more right. I've seen people become more center, you know? And one thing they all have in common is that it has at one point been to the extreme of all of those, you know, whatever trains of thoughts and political parties and all that stuff. But again, it's not that it's Facebook that created this escalation, mm-hmm. you know? And at the end of the day, they're looking at the bottom line of how can we have the most screen time? What is the endless scrolling, the keywords. I mean, it's designed to keep us on there as much as possible. So like you said, it's the news, it's what we consume. It's to the point, you know, I've said it before, lots of people have said it before, it's just our reality is completely just fractured, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And they are one of the main simulators, you know, in the simulation that we're in. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so it's so bizarre. We can have so many people and they're just all just on different spectrums of the reality, and they in this, but it's just like actual violence that comes from this. And it's okay, so the activity is being online, but mm-hmm. what is the actual action that comes from this?
Right.
And we have seen it in different aspects, from all sorts of, you know, I mean, violence to like physical attacks,
right.
but also to gatherings, you know, mm-hmm. and creating and protesting and stuff. So I mean, is that the, you know, is an extreme defined by its opposition? You know, that's
right.
Just a thought.
I think that's a really good point. And, you know, with this test kind of pilot program that we're talking about, it's being piloted in the U.S. But I think what you just said makes me think, you know, if Facebook isn't transparent about how it's defining extremism, this could be something that is highly, highly marketable in countries that have more restricted internet than we do in the United States. Facebook is sometimes... I don't know if Facebook is one of the ones that typically gets banned. I know Twitter gets banned all the time in particular countries. But I'm wondering if this is now, if this is something that they move forward with, becomes a tool that is used, you know, not uniformly.
Yeah, and then it again goes to the reasoning behind it, because you know some governments can use it to try to crush opposition, and that is real. We saw, you know, like the Arab Spring in 2011, that a lot of that did come from, you know, sharing information online. And now, like, imagine if there was this option of reporting something that's an extremist that could, you know, something that's like, you know, moved by the people, but then gets reported on. And I guess it has the same characteristic as an extreme or something violent or something with potential, although all those things are true and it was, you know, very violent. But
yeah,
the fact that, I mean, what could this possibly take away from us, you know, is I think my question, because we know what we know what it's quote unquote supposedly supposed to be used for,
mm-hmm.
but that's just my opinion. You know, someone else can have another opinion that could totally jeopardize how I see us moving forward as a society,
yeah.
and vice versa.
Right.
You know, so it's just kind of, it just seems like this is a very, like, a cop out. It seems like it's not very intentional. I don't know who thinks up with these ideas, but I feel like they get paid a lot of money to think of these ideas. And mm-hmm. If they ever needed two people to be like, hey, Facebook, stop it. We're here. We'll do that.
Yeah. Well, it also makes me think of Facebook. Wait, what was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, never mind. I mean, I was thinking about what the other things that Facebook owns, obviously, like, they still own Instagram and WhatsApp, and you brought up antitrust legislation, which maybe they'll get busted up and maybe that will make a difference. But it doesn't seem exceedingly effective. And I don't know. I question all of it. I question, you know, where are they going with this? Does this? And I mean, I think that it's interesting, but you're also, like, participating in it. You're teaching the algorithm what extremism is.
Oh, touche.
That's where, ooh, I was trying to get back to. I lost my train of thought, but I found it. The algorithm.
It all goes back to the algorithms.
Well,
yeah,
because now they're...
it's true.
Right. One could assume... I mean, maybe they have people who are, like, checking... I don't think they have... They don't have individual people, like, reading your uncle's posts and saying
I think
he's
it's
kind
impossible.
Of... He's kind of not towing the party line, if you will. So I think that it's, and I mean, maybe they've identified sources that have posted extremist content and notified people who've consumed that content that they may have consumed something extremist. But, like, what is the information that they initially fed that algorithm, right, to then even prompt someone to say, hey, you may have seen something extremist, or your friend may have seen something extremist? I don't know. It's worth talking about, but it's like that's not what is, you know, put out there immediately.
I mean, it is, you know, it is a interesting thought. And, you know, I wonder, because, you know, ideas and thoughts and violence and general harm and hate aren't new concepts that only came around, you know, with the internet's inception. So I wonder, you know, a lot of times on the show we try to think, well, how is this any different than what was, you know? And I think that one thing that comes to mind is that, like, it's all concentrated in one place, that you just need one thing, and that's, or excuse me, two things, that's a device and internet access, which is becoming easier and easier to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, you get to read this alt-right newspaper that comes in a town, you know, somewhere,
mm-hmm.
In like rural America or something. It's you know, it's being you get to see it. So where otherwise, maybe because you aren't around that, you aren't necessarily, not, I, you know, shouldn't specifically, you know, pick on rural. That was kind of rude. I shouldn't, I'm taking that back. But just in a general, like, you know, if you aren't in that proximity, you wouldn't be able to see that or to know what other people think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, whether it's hateful or not. But now you are exposed to it, so you know, obviously it is very jarring. And like, you know, so I like, it's beyond, like, I don't think that, you know, Nazi, you know, newspapers exist, but they do, you know, and it's like beyond me that they would, and I would never, there would be no reason for me to interact or see it because of who I am and what I do and my identity and my life.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the simple fact that I am on the internet, I do see stuff like that, you know?
Right.
So
well, and then think about that as you aren't looking for it.
Oh, there she is.
And think
there
about
she is.
You know, if somebody even has an inkling of what they might be looking for or what they're trying to find information about, you know, in certain situations, like, you know, you're not looking for it and you find it. So what are the people who are looking for it, or maybe on the fringe of looking for it, like, what do they see?
And of course it's all fed by the algorithms because of, you know, again, proximity and relate and it being related to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And you did bring up like the misinformation or the possibility of misinformation during COVID-19. And, you know, like you're mentioning, the Attorney General, D.C., subpoenaed Facebook for misinformation, wanting to see what kind of information in documents and, you know, just like post mm-hmm. happened during the coronavirus to spread misinformation. So that's, you know, we'll see how that goes. We'll see if, you know, if this is like, it seems to kind of be a trend. So we'll see if this, you know, since a lot of states are reopening and maybe now have the bandwidth to kind of look back and see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll be hearing more and more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so hopefully, you know, we'll keep our finger in the pulse, as they say, and we'll see what's going on with the Facebook. And mm-hmm. yes, hopefully you won't have to report any of your friends or anything, because that would be a little weird, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. Anywho's, going to take a quick, short musical break and then go to part two of our program, in which we invite you, the caller, to answer our community question. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Drinking Tanqueray, thought they could play me, partner, I don't play. Told them pack your bags, 'cause the day of judgment day. I hooked them up with Greyhound before it got too deep. And the way I see it, partner, I believe I've got all cheap.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland 90.7 on your FM dial. Community Connection. I got a whole bunch of taglines. We're moving into the second part of our show where we ask our community question. But before we do, want to give folks a reminder, today through Monday, KBOO is broadcasting the Waterfront Blues Fest, noon to 4. It is a great event, and tune in. It'll be exciting. Lots of good blues.
Yeah, I'm excited for the blues. And it's going to be a live broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good.
And there are going to be live anchors there, so hopefully they'll also be chit-chatting with folks and doing a couple of interviews.
Yeah, lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
Are we ready for our secondary part?
We are ready for part two.
Okay, let me get into it.
Go ahead, Thea.
Yeah, thank you so much. okay, so what are we talking about? Obviously, the heat wave was last weekend, and that was record breaking, like three records broken. Just break the record three times over. Because of, you know, the heat wave and the drought that the entire West Coast has been experiencing, the governor put us on an emergency order for wildfires, and in Portland, a bunch of cities across the state have actually banned fireworks. And this is, I mean, we're speaking to you on July 2nd here, going into the July 4th weekend, banning fireworks. So because obviously fireworks can start a wildfire. There's a lot of different things that can start a wildfire, but what we want to talk to you about today is what could you do? What could be an alternative to fireworks if you're trying to celebrate? What's a good idea? We're trying to do some brainstorming here about fireworks alternatives. So if you have thoughts, please give us a call, 503-231-8187. Does this change your plans? Do you think that it's a good idea to ban fireworks? What's your relationship to fireworks? Those are all kinds of things that we'd love to hear from you. So yeah, 503-231-8187.
And to be specific, there's a ban, and be clear, a ban on legal and illegal fireworks.
Oh.
Just in case you thought that there was a little bit of loophole. No, it's for legal and illegal fireworks.
Okay, so no poppets either, huh?
Did you mention dogs yet?
No, I didn't mention dogs.
Yes, that's my number one thing. I'm not a fan of fireworks, never have been, never will be. I don't like how it affects the dogs. I don't like that it smells like gunpowder. I don't like that it's smoky on the road.
Yeah.
I left my country because I didn't want to deal with that, you know? So
right.
It's like strange to me that happens here on purpose. It smells like gunpowder and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And the heat wave, you know, everything was dry. This is real. I'm really just letting it all just really. After the heat wave, I have 118 degree the other day that we had. As soon as it dropped to about, and again, like 96 or something.
Like 97. It's incredible.
I just started hearing people setting off fireworks.
Oh,
and
man.
I was just dumbfounded. I did not understand.
Yeah.
How, who, what, when, where, why. You know,
right.
Emphasis on the why.
Right.
And it's really, you know, we are approaching wildfire season.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, God forbid this, you know, this wouldn't. This has happened before. So, yes, I agree with you. Alternative to fireworks is you can clap, clapping.
Clapping really loud. Shout out to my dad, one of the loudest clappers around. Yeah, clapping loudly if you're kind of missing the loud noise. You know, really any kind of percussion could be a good substitute.
Shouting, you
could yell.
Dancing.
Sure, dance. You know, you're missing the pretty colors of the fireworks. Get yourself some sidewalk chalk. Let's draw a picture. You know, the kids in the neighborhood will love it.
They do. And they're safe and they're not risking their fingers.
Yeah, what if we play, let's play hopscotch.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Whenever I see hopscotch, I play it walking through it.
Yeah.
You can go coloring somewhere. You know, a little bit of watercolors, the opposite of fireworks. Get it? Watercolors, fireworks. Yes.
I like that. Or, yeah, water play, I guess, would be the opposite of a firework. Yeah, but if callers have thoughts about alternatives to fireworks, how are we dealing with fireworks coming up on the 4th of July now that, as Tammy aptly pointed out, legal and illegal fireworks have been banned in the city of Portland. There's a bunch of other cities in the state of Oregon that have banned them as well, so that hopefully we don't start a forest fire. So give us a call if you have thoughts. 503-231-8187.
So we do have our first caller on the line. Can you hear us, caller? Edie, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hi,
we can
Edie.
Hear you. How's it going?
I have some solutions.
Oh.
I was on the first firefighting crew having women in the state of Oregon. So we went with all agencies or all you know, all around the state in Northern California and Idaho. So fireworks start fires, glass, broken glass, litter start fires. You're not, it is also a ban. You are not to have fires, open fires, or even in the metal fire pits at campgrounds in the state of Oregon. So make sure that you do not even have those, and you can enjoy your little marshmallows without having, you know, burnt fire forests. But here's the solution. When you, instead of having flares, for if you have have fun with flares, or if there's a car accident and you don't want people to run into you, go to your local auto repair parts place. There's many different companies, and get AutoCraft. It's a 10-in-1 LED emergency flare, so it looks like a giant hamburger.
Oh,
And has LED lights on the top and LED lights around the sides, and it can have like 9 different flashes. It has a magnetic base, so you can have it as a you know, light it up and you have a works light, or you're fixing your car and you can see it. Mm. You can put it on the long side of the road before it has a hook, on either side of you, far enough ahead that drivers will know something's coming up, slow down, get in the other lane, you know, watch out. And these little guys have the three batteries already in them and can be replaced. They can save lives and prevent forest fires and have multiple use. You can use your camp lantern. You can have it as your party. Mm. You can have several of them out dancing in the woods, having your flashing, you know, disco party with all the different speeds of flashing lights or whatever, the, you know, blinking, whatever, because they have 9 different speeds.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have lots of fun, and you can, you know, frisbee them, disc them. You can toss them and juggle them. But now you have a way to be safe if you have car accidents or whatever else. I wouldn't take them for your backwoods backpacking because any kind of weight weighs too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going somewhere and you want to be found, the helicopters will find you.
Right. There's other options other than fire or fireworks.
But this is a way in which you can have safety and celebration without giving people PTSD from from wars and gunfire or domestic violence where guns are used to, you know, threaten, traumatize people.
Mm.
You're not traumatizing dogs, cats, wild animals, and little old ladies. And you're not burning 0 to 4 years old are most of the serious injuries from fireworks and then teenage boys.
Mm.
So this is a way in which you are making the world safer and more fun and playful, and you could even have a contest of all the creative things you can do with them.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. That was a lot of great information. I love the dancing in the woods light party.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a weekend planned if I've ever heard one. I'll have to look up the thing that you were talking about. We got another caller on the line, Kevin. Kevin, can you hear us?
Hi, my name's David.
Oh, David.
Oh, sorry, David.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I've got a couple of ideas that would be great, I think. One is, instead of buying fireworks, buy food and donate it to an animal shelter. And then the other one is, why not hijack Christmas and form groups to walk around the neighborhood singing patriotic songs to people's doorways?
Oh.
So instead of groups singing hymns, why not sing 4th of July songs?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, singing.
Maybe.
People need an activity. It's a good idea to bring in an activity.
Maybe hand out cookies or something.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. Why? Why should we only do the singing in one time of the year? I like that. Thank
you. Why should we only do the singing for once a year for a mythological fat white guy?
Sure.
Thank you, right? David.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks,
that.
David.
Okay. Thanks.
Take care.
If you want to call in and give us your thoughts, we are talking kind of about 4th of July and fireworks. You know, if you not necessarily litigating Christmas at this point, but maybe it's a time to, maybe we could bring in more songs. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. What are we going to do instead of fireworks?
I think it'll be nice, you know, considering how we are changing as a nation.
Mm.
You know, maybe it is about time for us to start making some new songs about us, you know,
mm-hmm.
about the people. You know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, Mariah Carey has to do it, but if she wants to.
Hasn't she done enough for us?
She hasn't. I know. I don't want to. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I really like the song ideas.
I'm trying to think of what are.
It's opening
are there,
up options.
What songs would apply? I mean, you could just sort of broaden the scope and, you know, songs about the summertime.
Ooh, maybe. That's right, yes.
I mean, I'm also thinking of, because fireworks shows a lot of the times will have, like, an accompanying radio program. Like, they're meant to have music with them.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if they haven't just been leaning heavy on Firework by Katy Perry. It's just, I mean, I could look it up to see how long ago that song came out. But I don't. I'll voice a personal opinion. I don't really like that song that much. But, you know, for all of us trying to, you know, stifle our affection for real fireworks, or whether or not you have that affection, that's a song. Let's go firework by Katy Perry, Caroling in the Neighborhood.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe I'll cue that up. We do have another idea from Harry. Harry, are you on the line?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have an idea. Instead of fireworks, we should use water. Like, everyone bring out their water pistols and their super soakers.
Mm.
We could have and we could spray each other with hoses. And don't forget water balloons.
Oh, can't forget water balloons. I love that idea.
That's the only idea I have is, switch everything to water. And that way it'll be safer. And since it's warm out, everyone will be happy.
Yeah, totally. Plus, we're in a drought. A little more water in the ground couldn't hurt. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
And that'll be nice for the dogs and the cat, you know, because the poor animals were really going through it the past few days.
Oh, man.
So that's nice. Oh, I'm loving all of these ideas. And also, fireworks, but I feel like that should be just the song playing constantly in the background.
Is it a good idea or is it maybe like too much of a temptation? But then again, she also heard like the most famous line of that song is that, do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind wanting to start again? And does that encourage people to litter? I don't know.
Oh, gotta talk to Carrie Ferry about that one.
Getting in the weeds here. if you have thoughts about fireworks alternatives for this weekend, give us a call at 503-231-8187. We've gotten some great ideas from our callers already today. Strobe lights, some kind of LED situation, and thinking about it, you know, from a safety perspective. What else did we hear? Oh, caroling, maybe singing.
The singing, yes.
Caroling sounds so Christmassy to me, so maybe there's another word for it.
But there must be. I think there might be a connotation. Just street singing? door singing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spread some summertime cheer. That also sounds wrong.
We're all in this cheerful because it's a celebration, you know. And again, if people aren't aware, there is a ban on fireworks, both legal and illegal fireworks. So just if you thought, I'm going to correct you real quick. So be careful. In my opinion, it is very dangerous to do it during this time of year after having such a serious heat wave that people died during the heat wave, you know, like it wasn't something just very simple and, you know, that was not felt throughout the city. I think in Canada, they went
to 120 in Vancouver, BC on like Tuesday.
Sheesh.
Just nutty. And I mean, you're like, oh, well, the legal and the illegal ones are banned. It's like, when has that ever stopped anybody? But I guess my hope is just reflecting on the past weekend and the intense weather and the really intense wildfires that we had last year. It's like maybe and that we've had a whole year of needing to do collective action to protect each other. Maybe we can skip the fireworks and sing Firework by Katy Perry. I'm giving Katy Perry a lot of free promo here and maybe I regret it.
She's, I can imagine just like an a cappella group going door to door singing songs that are related to just all sorts of firework songs or just celebration songs, you know?
Summertime. I mean, the only other song that I can think of about the 4th of July is the Star Spangled Banner.
That is, but
one isn't like, you know, upbeat per se.
And I was thinking more of those songs, and that's why I thought maybe we could create something new for our new collective, like, kind of consciousness that we've been kind of, you know, like you said, you know, kind of protecting one another this last year. We've gone through a global pandemic, so, you know, maybe it's time to reset kind of, you know, things, you know, it's time to try new things.
And why is it only, I mean, this is an age-old gripe, usually around Thanksgiving time, but why is it only Christmas that has songs about it? I think songs are a great kind of way to break things up. Maybe it should be sung in rounds. Maybe there's a call and response aspect.
Mm.
Songwriters, a cappella groups, call in. Give us your thoughts. 503-231-8187. Anybody who wants to talk about fireworks and things that we could do as an alternative as we are coming into the 4th of July weekend.
We heard some great alternatives so far between the clapping and the dancing in the woods party with the LED lights, which can also be used for, instead of a flare, for for if you need it for emergencies. Mm-hmm. So that's neat. Multi-use. Can't do that with legal and illegal fireworks, which are banned. For 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you know, it is a spectacular show of lights.
Mm-hmm.
So of colors. We have the technology, you know?
I just thought of something.
Please, go ahead.
You're worried about a spectacular show of lights? Find a kid who's on TikTok and see the LED strips they have in their room. They go a zillion different colors. This just hang
true.
Out in there.
This is true, yes.
There are alternatives.
And I think that there are some... Yeah, I think it was Edie that mentioned that most of the people that do get hurt are 0 to 4 years old and teenagers.
Yeah.
They need, you know, oof. I don't want to see any of that, right?
Right.
And of course, we don't want to see more people in the hospitals because it's not like the pandemic is completely over, mm-hmm. you know. And there's just lots of layers to it. So to add another one of injury that could be preventable, or just making people and you know wildlife uncomfortable, just for the sake of what, you know. So we'd love to hear your opinion on how you will be. Celebrating 4th of July, will you be using fireworks? Will you not be using fireworks? The answer is no. I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah, you won't be.
503-231-8187. What are your alternatives for fireworks this year? And what are some, you know, some ideas that you have around that?
Yeah, I'm thinking about what David said earlier about, you know, taking the idea of caroling and turning it into, as you so aptly called it, street singing. Are there other holiday traditions that are like, or holiday activities that could be adapted for different situations?
Well, I like the donating part too.
Yeah, the donating part is good. A little bit of goodwill on perhaps a, I don't know what I want to call the holiday, the 4th of July. But yes, maybe a spirit of goodwill and giving could be a good addition in there.
Yeah. That would mean, especially for, you know, folks who need it. You know, if there are kind of like, I'd like to see more democratic institutions kind of paving the way to how we're going to shift some of these holidays that otherwise, you know, we're not inclusive. We're not really, you know, I think now we're more aware of how these holidays affect different people, whether it is, you know, through the loud sounds of the fireworks or just the mere fact of how this country was, you know, founded and, mm-hmm. and created. And now that we are aware of these things and we're talking about them, I think that to celebrate this holiday without acknowledging all of that is like kind of a disservice to all of the, you know, all the growing pains that we've all been through, mm. you know? So... I would love to see how that would change and how that would shift and see some of the organizations, especially locally, pave that way, you know? Just what does that look like and reimagining it? And I think fireworks may be the first thing to go, sure. And so I feel like fireworks are getting a really bad rep, but I just don't like them at all.
Yeah.
I know that people really love them, so I get that. I do. But I think we're just kind of in a different... space than we were
right.
years ago and leading up to this.
Well, I mean, right, like personally speaking, I have an appreciation for fireworks, but the thing that, like, but my context of fireworks is like being a child on the 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like it's not related to, you know, like the dogs being scared or somebody who's like been to war and like has PTSD related to that, or that the 4th of July has always felt like a disingenuous holiday, and so who cares about fireworks, you know, like that
right,
doesn't make
right.
up for anything. And so just like, I don't know, I like them, but I'm not, but like with all of that in mind and with the heat wave and with the risk of forest fires, it's like, all right, I'm good to let this one go. Let's do something for the collective good and burn less of the land in this area. That seems like a good outcome.
And the glass too. So
yeah,
hated that.
Ugh. Yeah, and and like all the debris that it like leaves and junk like that.
Poor birds.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 2 minutes that we have, if you'd like to get your comments in, the number is 503-231-8187. Just talking about fireworks and kind of how we are gonna reimagine 4th of July, knowing all that we know and. you know, growing how we did together, like you said, the collective consciousness and the good for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that includes people, the environment, animals, our psyche, you know. And yeah, we had some really great alternatives so far. I'm really loving this party in the woods, because it's safe. And you can't, you know, when you're going camping now, even campgrounds, you can't, you know, you have to use a propane. I don't even know if you're allowed to use a propane, but it was, yeah, they're serious. They're not playing around with this firework stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, knock on wood that we'll be successful with preventing major forest fires this early in the year. So excited to have that. You know, the super soaker sounds fun. I haven't done that in a while. I guess if you're going to use water balloons, try to pick up the plasticky bits that you got. That seems important. Sometimes those are casualties as well, with sort of firework remnants on the ground. So, you know, just thinking about the impact on your environment, the impact on the people around you. We are coming right up on the end of our time here, so I want to thank everyone for listening. You've been listening to The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy is here with me. We've been talking about Facebook and Facebook extremism, and then just now talking about what can we do instead of fireworks for this celebration.
Yes, we appreciate you calling in. Someone did say that maybe we can also wet the front yard and teach kids why fireworks are dangerous.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you very much. Coming up next is going to be Wings, and following that is Disability Justice. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all. Thank you so much, Althea.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
We'll see y'all. And don't forget, the Blues Festival is here on KBOO every day until Monday from 4 to noon. And here's some blues.
Yeah.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned natural foods cooperative featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and a farmer's market every Wednesday year-round. Located at Southeast Tibbetts Street and 21st